If you have your Bibles, if you'd open up to 1 Samuel chapter 16, that's where we'll be today. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Chris and Nancy, 1980. That's this picture. This is me and my little sister, and we just got our Easter baskets. Do you remember the joy of being a kid in the holidays? Do you remember how much fun it was as a kid in the holidays? And one of the things I think that made it fun in the holidays were the crafts at school. We would do crafts at school. They were just really, really special. I remember doing the paper plate pumpkin. Y'all remember this? The paper plate pumpkin. Maybe it was the handprint Thanksgiving turkey. The thumb is its mouth or its head. We did the pine cone Christmas tree. And one that I'll never forget, maybe you didn't do this, but we sure did, was the toilet roll nativity scene. Because, you know, nothing says silent night, holy night like two-ply. Lots of fun. But I guess of all the crafts, there was one that really let you stretch your imagination and just a lot of fun. And that was this craft, the Valentine's Day bag. Do you guys remember Valentine's Day and the Valentine's Day bag? And what you do is you take a bag, you cut out a heart maybe, glue it on there with some glitter and some paint, and you'd make this decoration that you could then put on the wall, and kids could come in and they could drop in their Valentines. And boy, I tell you what, that was a lot of fun for us as kids. But here's the thing that I learned very quickly. You see, the bag itself did not guarantee a good Valentine. You could put a lot of work into the bag and still not get what you're hoping for. Case in point, Susie Matheson gave Bill Stillman a Valentine of a train that said, "I choose you." And she gave me one that said, "We're good friends, Valentine." And that guy wasn't an artist. He barely even worked on his bag. He was an athlete, but for whatever reason, she gave him that Valentine. My point being this, it's not the container on the outside that really matters at the end of the day. It's the heart on the inside that matters most. That's what I learned as a kid. It's not the container on the outside that really matters. It's the heart on the inside that matters most. I had a good Valentine bag, but I didn't get good hearts. And in my life, I have seen that sometimes I put a lot of effort on the outside container, but the inside heart might be lacking. We are doing a series called Messages. I don't know if you've been able to follow us the last few weeks, but a series called Messages, and the idea is that we're looking at Scripture, we're going back into the Old Testament and seeing are there truths that could carry across the Old Testament into the New Testament? Are there truths that cross covenants? Are there truths that cross time and go from an old world to a new world and still are applicable today? And the message that I have looked at is this idea that it's not the outside container, but it's the heart on the inside that matters most. And the place we find that, the place that I want to look at that, is in the story of David. Now, you guys remember David in the Old Testament. He's the young boy who was willing to go and fight Goliath. Maybe that's the story that comes to your mind first. But I want you to know, before the story of David, we have an interesting story about King Saul. And here's how the story unfolds. There once was the nation of Israel, and they wanted a king. And so they were looking for someone great and capable, and they found a man who was that way. He looked like king material. And they had begged God for a king and rejected their God for a leader. And in the process, they got this man who looked very capable. But here's the problem. His heart was not tied to God. There were times in his life where his heart was very distant from God. And so through that process, God determined that he was going to find a new king. And he told Samuel, I want you to go to the house of Jesse, and I want you to look for the one who will be anointed as king. And this brings us to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel sees Eliab, who is Jesse's oldest son, and he thinks to himself, this is the guy. This is the one who should be king. He looks great. And here was God's response. The Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or on his height or stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And here's what we learn. With God, the heart of the matter is the heart on the inside. With God, the heart of the matter is the heart on the inside. The outside can look great, but God says, look, it's really the inside that I am most concerned about. Now look, this message we have seen throughout the Bible. We have seen it throughout the Bible over and over again. We first see it with Jesus, who addresses the Pharisees. You guys remember Jesus addressing the Pharisees, and as Jesus talks to them, he says, you guys are like, you're like a cup that the outside of the cup is clean and sparkly and good, and the inside of the cup is rotten. On the inside is rotten. Or he says, you guys, you're like tombs that are whitewashed on the outside. You bleached them, you made them whitewashed, but on the inside there's bones. And Jesus begins to talk to the Pharisees this way in the New Testament. But that's not the only time we've seen it. We saw it as Peter talked about modesty. And he talked about the fact that it's not the outward adornment of our, you know, braided hair or the way we look or clothes, but it's the internal character that matters most. But this theme wasn't just seen there as well. We could even go way back to the Old Testament, even to the prophets. And the prophet Joel says this. He says, rend your hearts, not your garments. Stop ripping up your clothes. Rip your hearts. Give your heart to God. Don't just come in to worship God and look broken before him, but actually break your own heart. Or maybe we could fast forward in time and go to Paul. And Paul there in the book of Romans talks about the fact that the Greeks and the Gentiles act more like Jews than the Jews act, who act more like Gentiles. A theme over and over and over again that says this, it's the inside of the container that matters more than the outside container. You see, there's good news, and it's this. God sees the heart. God sees the heart, and that's good news. I want to tell you why I think that's good news. We will never live up to the world's superficial standards. We will never live up to the world's superficial standards. We know what it is to not be enough. To not be enough in the world's eyes. You're not smart enough. You're not loving enough. You're not giving enough. You're not woke enough. Have you heard this term? Woke enough. You're not rich enough, pretty enough, together enough. You're not enough. And some of us have had that message in our heads for a very long time. And here's God saying, good news, you're enough. You're enough. God doesn't judge by the world's superficial standards. God instead judges based on spiritual substance. Isn't it nice that we have one relationship in our lives that the substance of who you are is based on the substance of who you are? Isn't it nice that we have one relationship, at least one relationship in my life, where the substance of who I am is the substance of who I am? The inside. God looks at the insides. And I want you to know what he sees. If you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter 139. Psalm 139. This is David speaking. We go back to David. And here's what he says. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know me. And then David's going to start talking about physical things. You know when I rise and when I go to bed. You know words that are not even spoken yet. But I want you to jump down here to verse 13. Listen to this. You formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was no one. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. He says, here's the substance of who I am. God, you made me and you are with me. You made me and you're with me. You love me because I was created in your likeness. You were there when I was in my mother's womb. You were instrumental in my creation. You knit me. And not only do you knit me, you to this day love me. When you consider your substance, I want you to first start and consider this. You are precious to God because you were made in His image and His likeness. He knit you in your mother's womb. I think about paintings that I've seen in the course of my life. I got to see the Mona Lisa at the Louvre. I like to joke and say I love art, and I've been to that Louvre place. It's so great. The Louvre. And at the Louvre is the Mona Lisa. Could you imagine if someone just wrote off the Mona Lisa? It's no big deal. It's no thing. I don't care. Worthless. But the creator of the Mona Lisa, regardless of what you see when you see the Mona Lisa, the creator of the Mona Lisa makes her good. Painted by Da Vinci. That's why people love the Mona Lisa. I mean, she's good, but her creator makes her good. And that's what God sees in you. And how dare someone look at you, God's masterpiece, and say, that's not that good. Your creator makes you good. Do you see who you are on the inside? But the story goes on. You see, even though we know what God sees in us, there's a part of us that when we hear God looks at our hearts, we go, ugh, oh boy. Oh boy, God sees the heart, ugh. I say, hey, it's good news. I want you to know this. God sees who you are on the inside. He sees your substance. Some of us go, ugh, ugh. That's kind of scary. Because we know our hearts. We know how hard they can be. We know how dark they can be. We know how broken they can be and how bruised they are. You have no idea what's inside of me. Chris, you have no idea what's inside of me. You say, good news, God can see my heart. You have no idea the darkness inside of me. You have no idea the brokenness, the hard-heartedness inside of me. You know, you don't know the stories of the mistakes, my failings and my faults, the rejection, the insecurity, the sin, the disobedience. When I see my heart, I think I'm not good enough. I want to suggest a thought to you first of all. And it's this. We have a tendency to judge the inward spiritual in superficial ways. We have a tendency to judge the inward spiritual in superficial ways. Well, when you look at my heart, here's the thing. You would see somebody who doesn't pray enough like that person over there does. I don't read enough, not enough hours in the day. When you look at me, here's what you're going to see inside of me, that I don't give enough. I don't serve enough. I don't love enough. And the argument I'm going to make is that may be us looking at spiritual things in physical ways. Do you ever do that? Do you ever gauge spiritual substance through physical means? I have a tendency to do that. So for just a moment, I want to consider a little bit more about our spiritual substance. You see, over here we said, David, when he looked in Psalm 139, here's what he said. He said, look at me, God, I am made in your image, but we're all made in God's image. There's got to be more to it than that, right? Let's read a little bit more in Psalm 39, starting in verse 7, if you'll read with me. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand uphold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. I think he brings up three things here that are really important. Number one, I have your spirit. Guys, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've been baptized in the waters of salvation, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And David says, when I have the Holy Spirit, not only are you with me because you love me and created me, you are with me inside of me. We have God inside of us. And that brings with it the idea of forgiveness. I am forgiven. My sins have been washed away. Which brings with it the idea of light penetrating darkness. The darkness inside of me is illuminated. The secrets inside of me are exposed. The closets, the skeleton closets, are opened up so God can get in there and begin working on me. Three things I was saying here. Three things. Number one, I have the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, the result is that I am forgiven of my sins. My sins are forgiven. And number three, when my sins are forgiven, light conquers darkness. Light conquers darkness. And so I look at this and I say to myself, God, what are you doing in me? What can you see? God is doing good works. Can you see your spiritual substance? But here's the thing, and this is me. There's always a yeah, but. Yeah, but. That's great and all, but. That's great and all, but. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the time I've wasted. Psalm 139, if you'll go with me to the very end of the chapter, Psalm 139, verse 23. David says this, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any grievous ways in me. He says, yeah, but is there any part of me that's still just so broken I know you made me, you created me, and I know you recreated me, but are there still really gross parts on the inside of me? I'm asking the question, God, what do you do about that? Just an observation, if we couldn't meet the world standards, then how can we meet God's standards? You ever think about that? I'm not even good enough for the world. How am I going to convince God to love me? If I can't even convince you guys to love me, how can I convince God to love me? If I'm not even good enough for you, how can I be good enough for God? And God responds one more time. And here's what he says. Great news. God is in the heart making business. God is in the heart making business. When I come to God and I say, yes, I know you love me, I know you made me, and yes, I know you redeemed me, I know you saved me, but I'm still broken inside. Here's God's response. Yeah, but I'm creator and I make hearts. I'm creator and I make hearts. In Psalm 51, here's David, and David says, I have sinned with Bathsheba. I know you made me, and I know your spirit's inside of me, and I have sinned against you. And you know what he says? Create in me a new heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a pure heart. David was a man after God's own heart, but David didn't always have a heart that was right with God. And so he had God, the Creator, work in him. Isn't it good news to know that when we look at our salvation and our creation and we go, God, you created me, you saved me, but there's still a broken part of me, that God can fix that too? God can fix that too. God as creator can make new substance based on his standard. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe in John chapter 1, can come into your life through his spirit and make you new. He can clean you and cleanse you and heal you. His heart is to create in you a new heart. His heart for you is to create in you a new heart. In elementary school, I learned a truth about me and about you. The truth is this: it's not the outward container that defines us, but the heart on the inside. That message is seen in the Old Testament and seen in the New Testament. It says it this way: your heart is the most precious thing about you to the Lord. And I'm here to tell you today, number one, that God made you fearfully and wonderfully. The substance inside of you is good. Number two, he loves you so much he'd be willing to die for you. Number three, he saved you from your sins. Number four, he dwells inside of you if you have accepted his salvation. And number five, he can fix you and is working on you right this very moment. Isn't that good news? So I want to offer you an invitation. And here's the invitation. You get to decide how you'll see yourself. Will you see yourself in the hands of a creator who is covering every single base to make your heart clean and pure and good? Will you, if you're in this process and you acknowledge that he's my creator, but you haven't accepted his salvation, would you come and find a minister or someone to talk to so that you can be buried and resurrected in him in the waters of baptism? But maybe you've already done that. And maybe you still look at your heart and it's still dark and hard and bruised and broken. And maybe it's time to let him in to start working. And we have ways to assist you with that as well if you want that. We are here to serve you today, that your heart would be right with God. Let's stand and let's sing together.